How are you, based on the market, how you're doing? How are you doing today?
How am I doing today? I mean,
Yeah.
I'm panicking because everything's crashing, Marin. Everything's crashing and it's going to zero right now. So, I mean, you do not feel the same?
Yeah, it's a scam. We're going to 10K. It's all crashing. It's just terrible. It's terrible. And everything is happening that they all said was happening, which is unfortunate. But I guess that's all happening. Yeah.
In case the British sarcasm was lost on anyone, I don't actually think we're going to zero. We're seeing the market go down for the first time in a little while, and it's nothing to panic about. I think it's a great and healthy thing for the market, so I'm pretty happy. I'm not overexposed anywhere or over leveraged. Pretty chilling with the current market. I mean, in this sort of bull market, most people should be in spot positions, just positioning themselves nicely to make steady gains, occasionally maybe looking for the higher beta play, but with a smaller predetermined sum of money.
Yeah, I definitely learned beginning of this week that things are a bit too choppy to be trying to make high leverage plays. So now things have gotten calmer and my greed has gotten in check. But I agree. How do you think of times during corrections or consolidations? Like, what is your mindset and the way that you respond personally to that?
So I think self-awareness can be really, really helpful here, because I mean, been talking about this a lot recently, but your emotions matter a lot more than your risk management or your psychology, because sorry, or your technical analysis, because the psychological part is what allows you to long-term make money. So if in moments like this you are panicking, you're looking to Twitter personalities or YouTube or Twitch personalities to get your guidance and direction, maybe you're overexposed. Maybe you're in deeper than you should be. And I mean, it's an opportunity. If it's dipping right now and you are panicking, if you are scared, you're probably overexposed. And to leverage myself, I pay attention to my own feelings. And if I do feel any of that, I know, hey, maybe even if I have a profitable system, if I'm getting scared, I won't stick to that system. The system is only as good as the person trying to execute it. So, in these moments, I try to pay attention to my own sentiment. And on Twitter, I try to tell other people, like, I will jokingly say, the bull market's over. And then some people will comment below those tweets, hey, why would you say that? Someone might take this seriously and sell their bags. And to that, well, if you take that one isolated random tweet and then make a huge financial decision based off of it, you haven't really been listening to anything I've been trying to communicate or teach people, because your investment decisions should not be based on one isolated tweet. If you sell based on that, the issue is that you don't have an underlying system. You can't listen to any one personality when making these decisions because it's so personal. Every single person has completely different situation and circumstances.
I agree. I myself have encountered some of the similar reactions to literally just posting a picture with a bear on my phone case or wearing red and people thinking that it's a signal, a major, major sell signal. And it's the kind of thing that reflects how you wouldn't want someone completely driven by their emotions to do any job, let alone the job of trading, like trading their own assets. So I agree that no matter the numerical amount, if your emotions are leading you to do brash decisions or, be overly invested in the emotional part of it, then that's definitely a wake-up call. And I'm lucky to, like, throughout 2020 was when I got into crypto and trading. And even before finding crypto Twitter, I was lucky to learn from a lot of your videos. And I really resonated with your like meditative approach to mindset first. What is your background in combining and finding meditation and mindset and like a powerful mind going into trading? How did that lead you to trading and how does that help you?
I've been on a lot of financial podcasts and meditation comes up, but it's ne never really like this early on, which I'm super excited
Yeah.
about. And before I do get into that, we've got Salsa Tequila in chat right now, CT Celebrity, which everyone knows, saying, "Hey guys, my system is telling me I'm liquidated. WTF." Salsa, we need to change up that system.
Yeah.
Happy to do some one-on-one calls. We'll get into that for sure. Joking aside, Salsa's a fantastic trader, guys. Check him out on Twitter. So in response to your meditation question, it's helped tremendously, not just in trading and the finance side, but in all aspects of life. Because when you when you meditate, you hone skills that are really, really rare. Naval said this really well. The ability, fantastic. Yeah. Great thinker. His podcasts are amazing. My goal is to get my podcasts just anywhere in that direction, and we can consider it a win. So he said it really well. Being able to be happy doing absolutely nothing by yourself is like a superpower. And the reason that's a superpower is because it means you've dealt with a lot of internal conflict. Because when you're doing nothing, anything you've suppressed or tried to bury will come to the surface. Any thoughts which, anything that's stressing you out in life, as you sit down and you do nothing, that slowly creeps up. That's what distracts you. That's what takes you to other places. That's what anxiety really is. Just these thoughts that get so suppressed and bundled up that you can't process them or figure out what they are at all. And then think of how useful that's going to be for trading. If every time you enter a position, you can instantly tell that, I'm a little bit wonky right now. I'm feeling really greedy. I want to make a lot of money. This might impact my trading decision. So what that meditation does is I'm aware of that as I go in. It doesn't stop me feeling anything. I'm still human. The average person is still human. But what it does do is, I know I'm being greedy. Maybe I shouldn't trade. I know I'm hungry right now. And I know I make stupid mistakes when I'm hungry, so maybe I'll have a small snack before I start trading. And again, you can easily extrapolate and see how this goes far beyond trading as well.
Yeah, I really resonate with that awareness before taking action, because I personally resonate with stoicism and that philosophical idea that nothing is good or bad. It's all preferable or unpreferable, not, you know, judging it, but just writing it out. And that's been helpful for not seeing any rise or fall or my own reaction as something that needs to be of, like, the fact that sometimes if I poorly trade, I can feel the greed being like, immediately counter trade that and make it all back. That never works. That's never going to work. And so this week especially was kind of learning that early on. But with meditation and the way that it helps you to trade, how do you think about it on a more larger term scale of mindfulness with something like portfolio allocation? Because this is something that I feel is growingly important as, I mean, I use the analogy of Bitcoin as a savings account, ETH as your tech stocks, you know, you're diversifying in that way. How do you personally approach, not necessarily your own portfolio allocation, but thinking of that in the crypto space?
So I'd start by saying maybe don't isolate it to the crypto space. Just look at the crypto space in terms of how you're managing your portfolio, you really need to take a step back and look at your net worth as a whole, because that is what your portfolio is. Everywhere you have value, that's your portfolio. So a lot of people say, hey, I'm not going to invest. I'm just putting my money in a savings account. That is an investment. You're investing in cash. And by investing in cash, you're taking on whatever inflation is. Some people say 2%, some people say 5%, whatever it is, in about 20 to 40 years, your money will be worth half as much as it is when you first put it in the bank account. So firstly, it's acknowledging that everyone's a portfolio manager, whether they like it or not. Most people have no idea that they are, therefore they take the guaranteed loss of cash. So that's the first principle to understand. Now we're thinking, okay, I want to avoid this. How do I avoid this? You need to understand your personal situation. Everyone's got different responsibilities, different goals, different risk tolerances. Like, some people want to go live on an island somewhere and live a very calm life, disconnected from things. They don't need much money to do that. They'll go into a third world country to do so. So you just need to build a base amount of wealth and some sort of income generation. You'll be fine. Some people live in a first world country in a very expensive city. They have kids, they have a wife, so they're going to have a lot more responsibilities. And therefore, someone like that is going to need to behave very differently to the person who wants to go solo and live on the island. So understand your own goals and risk tolerance. And that's when now you can start allocating to different places. So the less knowledge you have, to now move to a separate segment, the less knowledge you have about investing and specific asset classes, the more passive you should be. The more passive you are, the more you take advantage of a universal edge, which absolutely everyone can have. And that universal edge is humility. By being humble and saying, I don't know how to time the market, I don't really know where to put my wealth, and I just want to spread it out and keep it safe, That's your edge, because most people aren't humble enough to admit that. They think they're geniuses, they think they can beat the market, and they'll dive in. Easiest global edge and alpha that everyone can take on. Now, there are some people that want to take this a level up. So now you know the basics, you have a passive split among different assets. Now you want to learn a little bit more. You want to squeeze out that extra alpha. The next step is to start learning about individual industries, educating yourself. So this could be through books, through news articles, through the internet, better yet, through mentors. Find people in the industry, smart people in the industry, and not only listen to what they say, but watch what they do as well. That's a key one, because what people say and what people do can often be very different. And by doing these sorts of activities, you can start gaining an edge and maybe say, ooh, this Bitcoin thing sounds pretty good. I think it might go to the moon. And then you start upping your investment a little bit towards Bitcoin. And now you're becoming more less passive and a bit more aggressive, because you've put in the time, you've put in the work. And then you want to take it a level above that as well. Well, it's just increasing your alpha, finding your edges, getting deeper into the industry, chatting to more people, and you can get more and more aggressive and specific. Now, to give my own personal views and how I like to allocate my assets, I like to take a very passive approach to the stock market, because I don't have that much alpha when it comes to the stock market. I know that. I'm deep in the crypto space right now. So why would I waste time not taking a passive approach to the stock market when I can put that extra time into taking more risky bets in crypto? So when it comes to the stock market, passive index funds, that's all I need. I put money in it steadily. I also take tax advantages. Ooh, this is a point which people do not talk about enough. Put hours and hours into trading to get a 5% edge when you can save yourself thousands and thousands just by optimizing your tax. So for my stock investing, I'll use an ISA. That's what we have in the UK. I can put up to 20K a year, which for most people will be more than enough for investing tax free. So get that tax alpha in as well. And to go on a little bit more, so when it comes to crypto, and Maren, please interrupt me if I go on too long, because I have a tendency to.
You're good.
Perfect. Then now when it comes to crypto, I'm going to be a lot more aggressive. Yes, I still take a large Bitcoin holding because, I mean, I'm sold on Bitcoin. I think it's the top contender to be a global store of value. I'm not saying it's going to be, but it's the top contender. And I still see exponential upside there. And it's the biggest market cap. So it seems like the safest investment. And when you're dealing with larger sizes, you need to be concerned when it comes to liquidity. So I know that Bitcoin is likely going to stay liquid. It's a lot less risky than stuff further down on CoinMarketCap or CoinGecko or whatever you use. So Bitcoin takes up the core. Then the rest of it, I start to get a lot more aggressive. Right now, something which has been serving me really well is as I've started taking on non-trading roles a lot more, because I used to be heavily trading. I used to do a lot of day trading and intraday scalping. Now, I don't quite have time to do that anymore because I'm running multiple companies and I've got a lot of meetings throughout the day, people to chat to, non-trading tasks to do. But I'm doing more swing trading. I'm focusing more on narratives. When we're in a parabolic bull market, you just need to find narratives that make sense and can make you money. What's hot right now? NFTs. NFTs are so hot. You find a semi-decent NFT project right now, don't marry the idea, but make an early play in it, and it's been pretty profitable.
Eternity chain right now. That was I got the narrative. Same. I saw NFTs. I was like, this, I need to get same. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Eternity chain. It's that simple. Yeah. Okay. Big project, loads of names in line with the current narrative and what people are hyped about. You can make a play. Now, where some people mess up is they assume because it's a narrative, because it's making money right now, it's going to make money forever.
Always.
And that's not the case. That's where you marry your bags and you get left up bag holding. Eternity might be the biggest NFT project and the leader for the next decade, the next Amazon that came out of the tech bubble, but this comes out of the NFT bubble. But chances are, we're not going to be able to identify multiple years out into the future what company is going to succeed. Because, I mean, there's people behind these companies. Imagine any random scenario where there's a fight between the internal team. That could destroy a company, just a fight. How often do humans have disagreements and fall out? Yeah, so a myriad of things could go wrong with the company. So it's really important to not mistake the current narrative with long-term holdings. So that's what I'm doing right now, heavily crypto focused. I've got exposure in a lot of different assets when it's not crypto or something I have knowledge in, because I've got a little bit of alpha and property. That's something I go a little harder on, but crypto is where I go hardest. The rest is very passive and very diversified. Yeah, I think that answers the question.
Yeah. That's great. And you took a lot of the words out of my mouth that I also say, which is that, you know, if you're entering, I think that the Little Book of Common Sense Investing by John C. Bogle from Vanguard is incredible, because it shows that you probably don't know what you're doing and outsmarting the institutions. Therefore, try to align with the market itself. It hypothetically tends to go up over time, little by little. And so if you're new, that is such a good entry point. And then if you become genuinely interested in fine tuning that, that's where concentration can come into play, if you align with awareness of a narrative. And similarly, if you understand the macro picture of crypto being the future, and within that, things that incentivize, like DeFi, there's an incentive behind it because it solves a lot of the issues of the central banking systems. NFTs, because it's the new up and coming version of basically rights to anything, which often is digital art. And that's why I see initially index funds, that's your landing base. That is, you know, if in the US, we can get a retirement account and put $6,500 in it a year, basically. So tax-free up to whenever you withdraw that when you're older. And after that, once you can begin to understand the narratives, that can lead you to this concentration. And I similarly think that Bitcoin's use case as a general reserve currency in some capacity is undeniable. And then once that's set, you can then try to pick up the smaller threads and things that you believe in, because those smaller cap projects are what potentially have huge upside. You just have to track the narratives enough not to let it then plummet after it has its upside when it's no longer the big thing anymore. In regards to these trends, how do you think your strategy and the market itself has changed throughout 2020? Because I entered in 2020, so I just hear how it was before, and I'm interested how it might be different now.
Fantastic question. I can't wait to dive into it. Before I do, I want to comment, that's a fantastic book recommendation. A few people in chat are asking, The Little Book of Common Sense Investing. And what you said about the institutions is a fantastic macro point. You're probably not going to be able to compete with these giant institutions that put $200 million into like improving their transaction times by 0.1 second to get an edge over other people. But there is one caveat to that, which a lot of people miss, is that these institutions have a lot of funds to deal with. So sometimes there's like this sweet spot that they can't quite get to because of liquidity issues. So a perfect example would be the altcoin market. If you find the right altcoin size, a lot of the larger players can't get into that as easily. Or if the ability to make profit is only a few, and I say only subjective, objectively, only a few hundred dollars every few hours, for some people, that's enough to make a living off of. So there are edges to be found that the institutions just can't profit off of, because it's simply not worth their time. And there are inefficiencies and alpha out there in the market. But as a macro point, fully agree with you. Now to part two, how it's changed from 2017 to 2020 to 2021, and how I've personally changed, which I hinted at earlier, is I moved a little bit away from just trading, because I got into the space because of trading. Most people get in here because of the money.
But
the money is alluring, and it gets you
or
in
the
here.
Trading, yeah.
2017, my friend tells me this is going to be the next internet, except it pumps harder. I'm like, ooh, I like the sound of that. Let's get in. And then 2017 went through the standard bull market phase, which a lot of people have gone through, made a good amount of money, got into some good projects. And it was just, they were just names to me. Like, I didn't know the difference between AntShares or ICX or ETH or EOS. Yeah. Like, it was all just these tickers that move with price. Yeah. And I was okay with that, because I wanted to hone my edge on the charts. But that capped at some point. I'm a bit ADHD. I don't like to just do one thing. So I felt like I was hitting a limit. Once I got above a certain position size, I was getting less and less comfortable with these really high pressure, short time frame scalps, because my trades only last 5 to sometimes 5 minutes to 2 hours when I'm doing intraday. And that gets stressful. That gets really, really stressful. So I never wanted to go above a certain position size. And I spoke to a lot of people in the space that were making more money than me, because my humility allows me to know that every single person I speak to can teach me something. If you're a follower with 2 followers or if you're someone with 1 million followers, it doesn't make a difference. Yeah. So I started talking to a lot of people and trying to learn what they're doing differently beyond that. And then someone told me fundamentals. You spend so much time in the space on social media as well. Why don't you look into the underlying fundamentals behind the projects and add that to your edge? Because before that, it was just news and fundamentals. That was noise. I just care about the numbers and the charts. Then I started incorporating that and understanding the underlying use cases behind a lot of these projects. That's where the narrative thing slowly started creeping up in my head. I started to see trends between the types of coins that were doing well. Also, if I knew there were fundamental backings behind my trading decisions, it was getting even more profitable. So my win rate went through the roof, because now when I had a discretionary decision, I also had a good understanding of the fundamentals and the news events and what was going on behind the scenes. That's why I hired a whole research team and then had them help me find out everything that was going on with these projects, and then used my research team to build a newsletter together and then post that for other people as well. So now the newsletter was a new business that came from initially what was just trading. So now I'm doing trading. I've got a research team helping me with the fundamentals. That became a newsletter. That became a podcast as well on top of that. And I was getting more and more founded in the space, because the fundamentals made me believe in cryptocurrency so much. Like you say, DeFi is solving a lot of problems. I don't know if DeFi is going to work. A lot of people automatically think DeFi is going to work. It could take 30, 40 years. We don't know that. But what I can clearly see is that there are inefficiencies in the market that DeFi solves. Right now, there's much more money to be made in loaning out my money through DeFi than there is through banks. Like you can earn 100% APY with not that much risk. Definitely some risk, but not that much. And it's much better than 0.1% in a bank. Then we've got NFTs giving power back to artists. We've got Bitcoin giving people in countries that really need a solution not tied to the government a solution, along with a myriad of other benefits. I'm overusing the word myriad. Let's go plethora. Another plethora of benefits. And because of that, I want to do more than just trading in the space. I want to help build companies. I want to invest in them, advise them. I want to share knowledge through the newsletter, talk to fascinating people like yourself through the podcast. And yeah, that's my journey from 2017 to 2021. The fundamentals made me believe in the space. So now I'm just building 24/7 in the space.
Yeah, that's so, I love hearing that, how you went from being like, it makes me think of, honestly, this is a weird, I studied philosophy in undergrad. So I think in terms of like Plato's allegories, but he talks about how those who should rule the city should be the philosophers who have been, oh shoot, my camera goes off as I'm trying to film, as I'm trying to explain something. My camera does weird shit. Okay, we're back on.
It was a really good point too. I was really looking forward to it.
Plato says that the philosophers who should rule a city should have lived in the city down doing the day-to-day tasks before they oversee things. So similarly, someone who has done the scalping, the day trading, been like down in just the most direct lines of fire should, can then really well articulate and solve larger dynamics and be well informed for the more large scale type energy that's required. I kind of went the opposite way, where it was my background in philosophy that then when I had to start managing my own money, it was just a recipe for crypto, because I was like, this for a bank account? Like when I could just, I don't know, send my dad USDT through my MetaMask, which we now like do, which is just funny. Like that is a philosophical thing that now I've taken more of the, like this morning I was working out and I'm like trying to like watch my short at the same time. And it was a meditative nightmare, because I'm like trying to, you know, do my yoga and I have that on. But I'm curious about this as well. Do you see changes in the market weekday versus weekend trading?
Weekday versus weekend? Yeah. I mean, I don't think we're going to shift away from the societal structure of weekends and weekdays, even though crypto is 24/7, there's still a huge drop off in volume on the weekends.
Okay.
It's been a bit better this year, but man, 2020 weekends were choppy. It was just well known. I mean, I know multiple traders that just entirely stopped trading on the weekends, and instinctively I wanted to, but my data didn't confirm it. So I just kept trading weekends, and maybe I was imagining it, but stuff definitely was a lot more difficult on the weekends. So more people are on holiday, less people want to trade on weekends, more people are chilling. It's a necessary societal thing right now, because we just can't have 7 days of work for the average person. Like, Maren, you and I work crypto nuts, so we can pull it off, but most people definitely can't. So yeah, there's a difference, but time of day generally isn't, or day of the week, something I've extensively tested. I know a lot of traders that actually backtest market behavior at specific periods of the day. That's an edge that I haven't tried to hone, but I know a lot of people, and actually I think Salsa Tequila was talking about it on a few tweets. He was here earlier, and he uses it. So yeah, I know a lot of successful traders that do use it, but personally, I don't try time, days, or hours of the day.
Yeah, I actually, even outside of astrology, I've seen patterns that I've noticed, because that's kind of what got me into liking every kind of chart possible that I can analyze, is like the pattern part of it. And I've noticed, obviously, when Asia session kicks in around 7, 8 p.m. Eastern, there usually is quite a sell-off. Also, 9:30 a.m. my time. I found around 9:30 to 10 a.m. my time, I watch it, and I, for whatever reason, I just have more success shorting, even in a bull market. It's really funny. I joke around with it with my friends all the time. And that's when, like today, that worked really, really well. But you know, I don't want to drag down the up only narrative, I guess, that's going on.
Yeah, it's pretty brave to mention shorting, Maren, like in this space.
I don't
tolerate that.
I'm young and naive, and I didn't understand that would upset so many people. And now whenever I mention it, it's like flames on Twitter, and I just sit back and I meditate, and I'm like letting it burn down in front of me. I tend to know this because I've seen your videos and whatnot, but do you use both TA and on-chain analysis when you are looking at charts?
Ooh, on-chain analytics. Now that's something we have been. So, I don't have someone on my research team who specialized in that, but I'm looking for someone who's just a god on on-chain analytics, because friends like, I don't know if you know, Ki Yong Ju from Crypto Quant, these guys are absolutely killing it. They have information which a lot of people don't understand or are not using. And with crypto, it's transparent. It's so transparent. That's one of the biggest advantages of moving over to decentralized finance and transparent finance. It's not even that different. Like, we could still have the same funds and the same companies, but they can't do stuff as easily behind closed doors. You can see everything that's happening. I know people that have made millions, absolutely millions, on places like Uniswap by finding big wallets, the whales, and then copying their movements. You actually have the ability to get onto Uniswap, find the biggest players, and then just copy what they're doing. So if you're invested in a gem and you suddenly see the biggest wallets are slowly starting to sell, that's a sell signal right there. And a lot of people are using this on Uniswap, because remember we talked about those places where the huge hedge funds with hundreds and billions of dollars can't quite touch? This is one of the great ones, because on Uniswap, it's pretty new. It's scary. Not many people are diving into that. Regulations all over the place. So you can find these edges, and they're not going to last forever. But while they do, it can definitely be a great way to make money.
Yeah. It reminds me of, funny enough, the TikTok investor. Oh my gosh. Okay. I know what's happening with my camera. This always happens. I'm getting another camera so I can solve this. But this will be okay. There we go. I see that. Okay. Multiple things going on here. There we go. So yeah, similarly, I follow on TikTok. I basically see a lot of TikTok investors, and some of these kids are so smart. They will follow politicians, see what big trades the politicians make, and just straight copy them and like wait and see. So I think of that as well when I see like whale movements that people copy in the space. It's like, why try to beat the probably not like the alpha that by default is going to be the most impactful because they're dumping on the market and whatnot. I've been interested in on-chain as well after like being immersed in TA and then suddenly finding on-chain and being just the complexity of it and appreciating that myself and wanting, I think I'm going to look for someone next to talk about on-chain and just give an overview and major things, because similarly, I'm looking to learn more with that. And
Yeah.
with your TA, what are your favorite things to focus on in the technical aspect?
So my personal favorite things, and I have them all on a free YouTube course, which I hope it's okay to plug that, Marin.
Oh
People
yeah,
can
I highly
find
recommend it. Like I learned from it, I love it. Yeah, so go for it.
Thank you again. I put out most of the tools I use over there. Moving averages are fantastic because they give you a very simple way to look at what the trend is doing. Underlying that and all indicators, in fact, before I get into that, this is where I should have started. You need to have an underlying hypothesis behind what you're using. So the reason I liked technical analysis and it made sense to me is because I could imagine demand and supply and how it would work in the market and price and time. That's enough data for me to figure that out. Because if I see price repeatedly moving up at a certain level, that shows people are buying at that level.
Shoot.
And the reason it's really important to have an underlying hypothesis and understanding is because if you don't, it's really hard to believe in your system. It's really hard to stick to it and buy every single time if you don't believe in what it's doing. So if you don't understand that there's demand there and that's why you're buying, if you lose 10 trades in a row, maybe you start getting fearful. Maybe you start doubting and losing faith in your system before the data tells you you should lose faith in your system. So having that underlying belief and hypothesis, whatever you want to use, be it technical analysis, on-chain analytics, fundamental analysis, that is the key starting point. So technical analysis, what I like, support and resistance levels, really follows that underlying hypothesis. Then looking at trends, because I believe that there is momentum in markets. When markets move in a certain direction, and let me narrow that in from markets, the crypto market, when it moves in a certain direction, it tends to overextend in that direction. In fact, that is the underlying hypothesis behind most of my trading systems. I believe trends in crypto tend to overextend. So when crypto moves in a certain direction, I just bet that it's going to continue moving in that direction until I'm wrong. It's really that simple. Trend analysis, support and resistance, and just sticking to your system with good risk management and psychology. Most people overcomplicate the TA, look for 100 different indicators, RSI, Ichimoku cloud, MACD, Bollinger Bands, absolutely everything they can find, where you just really need a basic, simple one, good risk management, solid psychology. And you're likely going to be profitable, or you realize that you're not going to be profitable and you try a different system or move on to a different skill.
Yeah, I agree totally that I even have it tattooed on me, just Occam's razor, the idea that the simplest theory will outlast that which is too complicated and therefore overextended. This is kind of why Bitcoin works so well, just so many different areas of life. And so when I was learning to trade and seeing other traders, I was astounded by the complication that I as well thought, what's your hypothesis? And then kind of when you write a paper, you have your thesis, and then you find the external support to facilitate that argument. So, looking at the support and resistance, I think is just the baseline of depending on what kind of chart or trade time frame you're using, and then things like moving averages as well. I think of that as just like the, like I think in terms of writing papers, and so it's just that more evidence that you're solidifying your argument with that it doesn't have to get super complicated. Yeah, with like just the MACD and like suddenly drawing like these crazy things. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. What works well is sometimes not even having candlesticks, but just the line itself and seeing what I can identify. And looking at patterns too, that seeing similar fractal patterns, I think that that is helpful in the larger scheme of things. What kind of advice would you give to someone entering the space in 2021, either as just being in crypto in general, or if someone is new to trading?
I want to think about it because I want to give something actionable and useful.
Yeah.
The biggest advice I would give is to be patient. I think patience
Yeah.
encompasses, it solves a lot of issues in the space. For example, if you're patient and humble, when you see your influencer talking about a really popular co coin, you won't FOMO into it. You'll take your time, sit back, study it, learn about it, and, patience allows you to know that there's always going to be another opportunity. Most mistakes happen because people are impatient. They want to get rich quickly. They want to get into the market right now. They don't want to
Right.
pay their dues through back testing or testing with small portfolios. So if people literally just have a little bit of patience with before any action they take. Understand that it's if it's too good to be true, it probably is. They're going to do better in this market. Then so that's the like most important thing I can share. Then for those who I know most people want to make money, and that's why they're listening to podcasts like this. If you want to make money, get deep into the space and immerse yourself in it. Because crypto is still early. Crypto is still young, and there's a lot of opportunity in crypto. And because people are slow to move, like one of the biggest advantages individuals have over big institutions is that they can't move as quickly. Like if you're a huge corporation, it takes a while to set up a department. Then it takes even longer to make that department good. Sure, there are some exceptions, but the majority of people can't, like the average person, just pick up and start dedicating their entire time to something like crypto. So if you want to move quickly, dive into the crypto markets, start spending more time on Twitter, listening to podcasts, reading newsletters, and find your edge. Find your edge in the market and you can start making money. If you're a technical person, if you're like really good at maths and data, maybe look at a technical analysis course. You can use mine, you can use any you like, and try to apply that to the market. If you're not very technical, if you're better at looking at the macro picture, but not very good with micro numbers, maybe look into fundamental analysis, learn how to assess projects, learn their value propositions, learn to identify and spot narratives. But whichever one of these strategies you pick, be patient and take your time. So that would be my over-encompassing advice. We can dive deeper into any specific point.
Yeah, I really like that emphasis on the why and the thesis and the narrative. And I know that there's like a running joke of you don't look into what the project actually is until you're losing money on it. And I know that I've lost out because I take too long researching something before getting into it. But I'd rather understand fully why I'm talking about things or recommending them. And that's why I try to be really cognizant as someone who sometimes does talk about projects that I am invested in, not as a way to like show my bags or anything, but demonstrate the thought process, because I do see investing as a kind of art where you get to pick and choose what you want to put on your canvas, and you're never going to copy another artist's work, but you can learn their techniques to improve upon your own. And I think that's important for traders as well, because the news will always somehow bleed down into the smaller day-to-day things. And maybe even just the narrative of like 9:30 a.m., I noticed that there tends to be a dump in the market. Just the awareness of like, I wonder why. Maybe East Coast people are like waking up or something like that. And they, I don't know, the kind of understanding these trends can be really important. And
Maren, if I can respond to one of the things you just said, because I think it's a fantastic point. It's see, that's a demonstration of patience. I took a while to research this project, so I missed out on it. Guys, I have that has cost me seven figures multiple times because I've just been too slow to move. Seriously, right. And I don't care at all, because my goal isn't to make as much money as possible as quickly as possible. It's to not lose money as much as possible. The goal in investing and trading is to not be wrong. Because if you cannot be wrong consistently, you're just let compounding do the rest. I mean, let me butcher this quote. Albert Einstein said that there's two types of people, like people who understand compound interest and benefit from it, and those who don't that suffer from it. And if you understand compound interest, you will, just with steady percentage gains, become rich. It's almost guaranteed because it's exponential. As long as you keep stacking up, you'll get rich, but your downside is limited. So if you take a big loss, then you're going to be down 50%, 60%. Now you need to double your portfolio and you can't just keep stacking slow gains. Circle of competence. Stick within what you know as much as you can, and you're going to consistently be right for a long period of time. But if you start taking these risky bets, sure, you might be right for a year. Maybe you'll be right for 2 years. Heck, if you get really lucky, you'll be right for 5 years. But on that sixth year or that 10th year, when you take that big loss, all of it's undone. So the goal to building that sort of wealth is to continually not lose, not to like make these 100x, 10x gains every day.
Yeah. I think even just the market of the past year being so inflated by an increase in the money supply has kind of given people a tolerance and an expectation to growth in the normal market that is not normal and therefore makes people even more eager to try to get into these altcoin projects in hopes of getting. I mean, I know that whenever I talk about or educate around Bitcoin, I get people asking, you know, I only have like X amount of money. Why don't I get into an altcoin that'll 100X? And that's, you know, a possibility that to concentrate your wealth like that could pay off. But also, unless you're really secure about the fact that that will happen, you could be waiting a year for that to happen. It could also already have happened and go to zero. And so there's a need to build like slowly and humbly. And yeah, I mean, I advocate for dollar cost averaging over time into either Bitcoin or index funds, just so that you keep up that consistency as a good way.
Can we talk about concentration versus diversification?
Yeah, I'd love to go. Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, because it's a really interesting topic. And I can empathize with the people that say, hey, if I buy Bitcoin, I'm never going to be a millionaire really quickly. That could be true at this point. Like maybe Bitcoin doesn't go 1,000x from where it is over here or some crazy altcoin return that we see. And concentration does make sense, but it has to be calculated concentration. So if you're aping into altcoins, you're gambling. Like concentration could be putting it all on black or putting it all on red. So if you have those smaller portfolio sizes, say you have a $500 portfolio and you earn $500 a month, then it might make sense to be a little bit more concentrated because your earning power and your portfolio power are pretty similar. So you can continually try and make something to build that base for you, but it has to be done in a calculated way where you actually find an edge in the market. So if you're patient and you really take your time trying to hone in your edge and you take into account your overall net worth and make the deliberate decision to take a concentrated bet, if you're young and you don't have that many responsibilities, go for it because it makes sense. But if you're, I don't know, say you are middle age, 50 years old, you've got a family, you've got kids, you've got bills to pay, maybe don't go all in on an altcoin or try to take those higher risk plays. So concentration can make sense, but it has to be calculated. It has to be with your entire picture taken into account. And to those people that say, I want to make loads of money quickly, cool, but take a step back, even with that approach, have some patience. In that case, concentration might make sense, but really understand what you're doing before you dive in and do it.
Yeah, the way that I've described it is conscious concentration. Like if you're getting into investing, I use the metaphor of a college application resume, where diversification will get you, if you're decently diversified, doing well in pretty much every area of your academics and your extracurriculars or whatever, you're going to get in somewhere safe, good, whatever, you're sure to land somewhere. If you concentrate on being an incredible computer scientist or an incredible artist, you're likely not going to qualify for this random school for sports, but you might get into the best school possible for that, and it only takes one. So similarly, if you're completely new and you don't feel confident in concentrating in something, diversification, index funds, that'll preserve your wealth, you know, qualification you're thinking of, that'll preserve that steadily. Concentration does build wealth. And if it's done either unluckily or without conscious awareness of why you're concentrating, that can destroy a portfolio, but it can also really build it if you know what you're doing. So I completely agree with that thesis in portfolio development.
I'm glad we're on the same page because I think you put it really well with that example, because those real life examples help people see what's going on. And just nothing to add, but agree with you there.
Yeah. Curious, do you know anything about your personal astrology?
Nothing at all, but I like where this is going.
Yeah. Do you know, like, what day were you born?
I know that. November 6th.
Six. Okay, so you're a Scorpio sun. All right, cool, cool. Do you know your moon sign by any chance?
No, I don't even know what a moon sign is, actually.
Okay, never mind. That's okay. I was curious if you knew. That's funny. I joke around and say that just a disproportionate amount of my friends and colleagues and everything are Scorpio suns and or Cancer suns. I have like no water signs in my chart, so I love water sign friends, but I have a large amount of Scorpio friends, so I'm not surprised that you're like there's a dedication to that sign and like a precision and an accountability of like not stopping. So I'm not surprised that you're very specific and thorough in the kind of advice that you give. You know, you're not speaking about things without like a well like backing and confidence in those things.
Nice, love it. Is there anything else we can dive into on my star signs or anything?
I don't have anything in particular to add that's really relevant to this, but I can say that being aware of one's personal financial astrology indicators in their own chart can be another level of self-awareness. So if someone is interested in astrology and they are well-versed or intrigued enough to want to look into that aspect, I know that I found that really helpful around myself. And it's just been helpful to see that I have just incredible amount of concentration. I mean, I grew up not understanding why I had an incredible emphasis on finance in my personal astrology. I was like, I'm going to be an actor. Like, this is bullshit. Like, no. Suddenly, then this comes about, and I'm like, okay, no wonder. So, someone's asking around, can I talk about it being the Chinese year of the ox? I actually don't know much of anything around Chinese astrology or the years of anything. So, yeah, I use astrology and TA kind of astrology is another narrative of that reflects the macro picture and does lead me to think that, yeah, there's going to be some major corrections this round right now and then also April 9th, 10th, but that it does look extremely bullish May into July. So we should see the euphoria pick back up. Do you have any thoughts around kind of the macro cycle or the super cycle or where you things that you do you think about what's coming up or where Bitcoin could go in the months to come?
So I'm pretty conservative with these sorts of predictions because I like to react to the data as it comes in rather than try predict what's going to happen before it does. So I will say I expect this cycle to last longer than the previous one. So hopefully go beyond 2021. Where Bitcoin's going to end up, I think we still have a ways to go. I'm going to give a super, super broad target of 100 to 300K, but it doesn't matter where over there it lands. What matters is positioning yourself. So right now, the information I've just given, what that means is right now I'm positioning myself for further upside. And as we continue to go up, I have a plan to continually reduce that exposure. So the higher we go, the more I reduce that exposure and make sure I keep the exposure that I personally am comfortable with and like. So I believe this will last a good little while and it's going to continue going up. What people need to focus on, what's far more important, is their own profit-taking strategies.
Yeah, what is your kind of hypothesis behind profit taking?
So profit taking is a difficult one in crypto, especially because a lot of people say, what should I diversify into? And a lot of people don't like the an answer of stocks. No one likes the answer of cash. And
I
the
like
way
real
I look at
estate.
it,
That's where
yeah.
my like in the future,
Land makes a lot of sense. Stocks make a lot of sense. But you don't even need to view them as land and stocks. Just view them like this. This is how I visualize it. Crypto is my high beta asset. I expect a lot of volatility with crypto, but I expect over a long period of time that it's going to outperform a lot of my other assets, and it's providing it doesn't go to zero. So when I want to reduce my volatility, I start moving a little bit away from crypto. I start investing in things like cash, stocks, property. But now this is the investment I like the most. I like investing in businesses and people. So now I'm going to start investing in surrounding myself with people who can build incredible things with me. I like to invest in businesses that are going to solve problems that I'm actually involved in. So that is one of my favorite places to invest. And also, I invest in my own time and amplifying my own time. So I don't have to think about whether or not my meals are prepared. My day is scheduled for me, so I don't have to think about what I have to do. My workouts, I've told every single set what I'm going to do, how I'm going to do it. And so I'm investing in myself. I'm investing in businesses and also my own education. I like to hire mentors to teach me different things. Like I often have periods where I get a maths tutor just to keep my math skills sharp and keep studying math. So those are a lot of investments which people don't even consider investments, but a great way to diversify that wealth, really raise your own productivity, your own output on your time.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I've heard it a million times, but the investment in yourself, that is renewing, and that will never be something that can, drop off if you're continuously adding to it. And so I think about as well, like kind of how the market, you can invest where you have expertise and you might not have the edge in another place, so that there's no point in trying to concentrate in a market you don't know about. I think about investing in delegating tasks to where every time I can level up what I'm earning, I can delegate what is not in my zone of genius. And I think that, yeah, taking profit in crypto, I'm really interested in like the years to come with that, because it's given lack of like clarity around taxation and regulation and whatnot, you just get so many weird different answers. There's me who has not cashed out significantly. I've never cashed out of Bitcoin, from like my HODL stash or anything like that. And I'm interested this summer and into 2022 when we do hit really, I think I agree, 1 to 300K. It seems that's a pretty agreed upon range, that when we hit that, what people's are going to take off. So with that being said, do you have any like final thoughts or things that you would want to send people off with around investing, trading mindset?
Yeah, I'd absolutely love to. I first want to say thank you, Maren, for having me on. It's been an absolute pleasure. To anyone listening to this, I don't really want to show my platforms. You guys can find me if you like what I had to say. What I will say is don't overlook the advice on patience. Make sure it's very easy to chase money in crypto right now, but that can send you down a really dangerous path that can lose a lot of money. So be careful with that sort of thing and look for things you genuinely enjoy and are genuinely passionate about, and then double down and go super hard on those without thinking about the money, and then make yourself useful and capable, then build relationships, and the money will 110% come. And yeah, those would be my final words. Thanks again for having me, Aaron.
Thank you. Well, this was a really great conversation, and I'll be excited to check back in when the market changes and grows and see how we can readjust talking about the greater narratives that come about and what's new in the space.
Perfect. And I'll come back on anytime you want me, Maren. Thanks a lot for having me again. Bye, everyone.